from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hello and welcome back to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. Carrie Jadis is in the house. She is one of our favorite artists here in St. Petersburg. Tampa native, I think. Isn't that what you told me once?
That's correct.
Okay, well, we'll forgive you that because you've been in St. Pete for a good long time now.
Yes,
and if you could get a little closer to the microphone.
Sure, can you hear me?
Carrie's one of those people who speaks through her art. We can hear you great. And so sometimes we have to tell her to be a little louder.
Okay, sorry.
We're so glad you're here. So much to talk about. My gosh.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, gosh. You've been doing this, you know, at making a living now for, what, a decade?
I think it's a good 18 years now.
18?
Yes.
Wow. So we're approaching two decades. You have a bachelor's in, what, electrical engineering, I think
yes.
It was, from USF. And we don't need to go over the whole story again. I'll recap it for people. Carrie has this BS in electrical engineering, thinking I'd better get a real job because she has a deeply analytical mind and is pretty smart. But you were also an artist, and one day you said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be an artist. How scary was that?
It was really scary. And really dumb.
you have to explain that because 18 years, Carrie, here we are. But you got to explain that one.
Well, at the time, I don't think I realized what everything meant. But, it was really scary. And, you know, I think I told you my whole experience with going out in my car and having sort of a moment where I decided that I wanted to take a chance on breaking into the art world. And I always wonder, had I not gone out to the car that day and not had that, you know, epiphany, would I be here? So,
well, don't you think the epiphany would have come sooner or later anyway?
Maybe
it wasn't the great sandwich in the car story.
Yeah, maybe it would have been like the long stoplight or something. I don't know.
A great dream or something. It would have come to you eventually. But you were an artist. I mean, it's been in you since you were very young.
Yes.
You know, and so what was it, Carrie? Were people saying, you know, that's nice, but you can't make a living doing it? Was it kind of that?
Oh, thing? Yeah. Everybody I worked with thought I was absolutely crazy. And I remember somebody telling me, well, I know there's one way you could make a living. You could photograph sunsets and maybe open up a little shop on the beach.
Ooh.
And I thought, wow, that's really limiting. But you know, I had a lot of hard lessons, and there's a lot of things that I thought would work that didn't work. But, you know, I finally navigated my way to a decent living And I, you know, I'm very happy that I did now, but it was really challenging.
Well, one of the things that I remember very distinctly about the first time we talked about this was that you very pointedly created a business plan for yourself.
I sat
down and mapped it all out.
Yes.
What did that entail? And was there a lot of self-doubt? And I mean, did you just keep throwing it in the wastebasket? Nah, it's not going to work. How did that work out?
Well, I think, you know, being trained as an engineer, you always sort of have an analytical way of kind of thinking through how you're going to figure a certain problem out. You know, you kind of put together a plan for just about everything. And if the plan doesn't work, then you alter it, you know, or you start over. So I think I was really just doing that. I was doing that with my art career, or my potential art career. I thought, okay, well, let me just formulate a plan and I'll alter it if I need to.
You know, I'm writing this week about the Highwaymen, which is such a great case study in someone who found their way through art, you know, against overwhelming oddities, as John Lennon used to say. I mean, these are guys who painted on gypsum board and sold them out of the trunks of their cars, and now they're valuable, you know. So they didn't really have a business plan. For them, it was just about survival,
mm-hmm.
you know, but great art came of that. How did you know it would work?
I didn't know it would work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the first 6 months, my plan completely changed because what I had thought was going to work didn't work at all. So, you know, it was kind of like a scientific experiment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what did that involve? Like, okay, I'm going to create this much stuff and then I'm going to sell it. here, I'm going to go work these art shows, you know, and I imagine some of that, as you say, didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. There was lots of, okay, I'm going to make this work that inspires me. I'm going to try to sell it here. I'm going to advertise here. I'm going to meet people here, and, you know, everything just turned out to be totally different, I think, in a lot of ways than what I expected. But I just kept doing so many things that eventually some of them worked.
So many things. Are we talking about, you know, commission work? And did you do commercial work?
I did commission work. I did commercial work. I did, you know, I made prints of some of my work and sold them in shops as consignment. So, just did a lot of things.
If you can, because, you know, this is a rare sort of rare occasion for me to sort of maybe you hear this all the time, but I mean, a lot of artists haven't quite figured this out yet. And you've been successful, you know, knock wood, for 18 years now. Maybe the first couple weren't all that successful, but you are now. What advice do you give people? You know what you're doing before you start, or just paint, as you say, paint what inspires you.
I think that painting what inspires you is incredibly important, because whenever you're painting something that inspires you, the chances are, you being a human being and there being other human beings that want to buy your work, they're going to identify with that inspiration or that moment that you're capturing.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to paint something just because or pander, but I think whenever you paint what's inspiring to you, you paint it, you know, you paint it better and you inspire others. But I think that ultimately, if you really want to live the life of an artist, you have to do sometimes a lot of things that you don't necessarily want to do. And I'm very introverted naturally. Mm-hmm. I don't really like going places or talking to people, but mm-hmm. I do it because it's a part of what helps me to make a living as an artist. And, you know, I think sometimes it's hard for artists to want to do things or to do things that they don't want to do, and sacrifice that to make a living at times.
That whole thing about I'm going to give up my day job and do this full time, that's like jumping off a cliff, though. Like, you know, what if my art doesn't support me?
Well, I had a little bit of a plan. I had some money saved up, and I gave myself, you know, a certain period of time where if it didn't work, I was just going to have to go back to my day job. So I didn't like feel like I was going to, you know, starve necessarily.
How close to that did you ever come? I'm going back to my day job.
I came pretty close.
Oh, boy.
there was a time where I had been doing pretty well for about 3 years, and I was just on the cusp of really making a living. But like, I guess like any business owner or someone who's doing something like this, it's like, you know, when you're self-employed and especially when you're doing art, you really don't always know where your next paycheck is coming from. And I was in the process of going through a divorce, and, you know, that was very scary, because at that point in time, it was like, okay, this, you know, this could be very bad.
Mm.
And this
you mean emotionally or financially or both?
Financially.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Emotionally.
And you have children too, I know.
And I had two children.
Yeah.
So, I actually got a call from an old employer, that I worked for as an engineer, and they asked me if I wanted to do a consulting job and if I would come in for an interview. And it just happened just about that time where I was kind of questioning on whether I was going to be able to make it. So I went in for the job interview, and I was sitting in the cubicle, or I was sitting next to the office where I was going to be interviewed, and there was a cubicle across from me, and on the cubicle there was this sign that said, "Smile, things could be worse." And it was this embroidered sign on someone's cubicle, and I thought, ooh. And I just sort of had this thought, like, is this really what I want to go back to? Like, do I want to go back to the cubicle life? And not that it's anything wrong with that. I mean, some people don't mind, but mm-hmm. for me, the idea of going back to that as opposed to making something, I made my decision right there that I wasn't going to go back.
I'll never go back. You know, in the early days, I worked for years and years and years and years in newspapers and cubicles. Mm-hmm. And even though you are doing something, quote unquote, creative, you know, there's still sort of the gristmill aspect of it. You know, I couldn't do it again. I mean, I work out of my house now.
Yeah.
You know, so it feels like a creative pursuit, and in many ways it really is. And
that's beautiful. Yeah.
Not to talk about me. I wanted to focus a little bit on the way you paint, you know, because there's something very some of the stuff is so impressionistic and I say it in a beautiful way, like gauzy, I guess is the word. And there's an eroticism to it. Even like the landscapes and stuff that you do, but what do you see? I'm walking up to a canvas. Do you know this is what I'm doing today, or does it just come out of you? How does that work?
I think that it kind of just comes out of me. Like I feel whatever I'm inspired to do that day, usually an inspiration is preceded by some sort of experience where I've been inspired just recently. My husband and I went on a trip to Boston and I got to see lots of amazing things that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. We saw this collection of glass hand blown glass flowers that were gorgeous. And after seeing them, I wanted to go back to my studio and paint all of these, you know, flowers just in sort of the same kind of color tones that I had seen in the museum. And we also we went to the Harvard Natural History Museum and we saw all of these. They had a traveling collection of insects, of really rare insects, and I just wanted to paint them like giant scale, really bad.
And hang ooh, them in giant this, insects!
Yes, giant insects. So I kind of just
the Carrie Jettis collection, folks.
Whatever inspires me, and I also have a conspiracy series that I'm working on that's kind of inspired by 2023 and 2024. Really, the past few years.
It's not political in nature, is it?
I mean, it's like it's kind of about how, you know, humans, when we don't understand our world, we tend to turn towards conspiracies. And so I've got a little bit of a Alice in Wonderland sort of conspiracy vibe painting series going on.
I mean, do you sketch things out or do they literally just...
No, I do sketch. Every once in a while, I'll just get so excited that I'll do something on canvas. But really, paintings end up going better for me when I have a sketch because I can kind of capture that excitement of my initial idea that I have in my head. And I don't lose it because if I don't sketch it out, sometimes it disappears, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are there moments when you sort of spring out of bed in the morning and go, oh my God, I got this thing I'm working
yes.
on in this studio. I can't
yes.
wait to get back
I
there.
I do. I have those days.
Yeah. Like people who write songs or make records tell me that too. It's like when this track isn't finished, man, I can't wait.
And that's another thing I've learned. You know, when I had my kids were younger, I used to have certain hours that I could spend in the studio and then I had to go home or I had to go take them to their sports things.
Yeah.
But now my kids are older and now I've realized that if I just plan my day around my inspiration, everything else falls into place. So if I feel inspired, I race to the studio and I do my thing. And then if I'm not inspired, then I don't, you know.
That's cool. That's not. And is it a, I don't know, is it a given that, you know, whatever you do will find a home somewhere? Or do you have lots and lots of paintings that didn't sell or didn't find a home for whatever reason?
Right now, almost everything I paint finds a home. And if it, you know, if I'm painting it and I'm not feeling it and I put it away for a while, then sometimes I'll paint over it. But usually once I post it and put it out there in the world, it sells. Somebody finds a home. It finds a home with someone.
That's nice. And that's your reputation and your ability and, you know, your talent and the fact that it resonates with people, I would imagine. I did want to talk with you. You and Mark Ehling got married in 2017, I think.
That's true, yes.
And then the Warehouse Arts District, you bought the Softwater Laundry and that whole thing there. You really started the Warehouse Arts District is what you did.
Well, we started Softwater. We don't own the building.
Mm-hmm.
We just started Softwater in the building.
Yeah.
And the idea was that it seemed like artists needed studio space. And so we divided it up so that I could afford the rent. And it turned out that there was a huge demand for studio space. And that really became the model for the Arts Exchange. And, you know, the mission being that it would provide affordable space for artists.
Was there a forward vision? I mean, were you thinking at the time, eventually this will be full of studios. We'll give all our artist friends a place to work. Or were you just thinking, I like this. I'm going here.
Yeah, no. we were kind of, I mean, we had hoped that Softwater would be successful because we had, like, dumped a bunch of our savings and building out the studios.
Yeah.
But once that filled up, Mark had, well, we were actually being threatened because the owner of the property at the time wanted to sell, and he had been approached by several of the local big contractors and developers that wanted to buy the space. So we knew that as soon as it got bought by, you know, a commercial developer,
It's gone.
We wouldn't be able to afford to stay there. And for me, that's not a big deal. But for Mark, I mean, it would cost him $20,000 just to move his studio because he has equipment.
Oh, that's that metal cutting thing that he got. I remember he was so proud when he showed that to me.
Yeah, well, we didn't have that at the time.
I know, you didn't.
But yeah, just, you know, him having to move would have been huge.
He was like, look what I got for Christmas.
And so, yeah, the owner of the property had befriended Mark over the years, and Mark had talked him into selling it to the Warehouse Arts District for a very reasonable price. And that ended up happening, even though this owner was being approached by other developers. He took the lower price so that we could save it for the arts.
And look what you started. I mean, it's a cornerstone now.
I got to say, it was not so much me. I was a cheerleader, but it was Mark's vision.
Yay, Mark.
Yeah, yay, Mark. And honestly, like, I think everyone thought he was crazy at the time. And even I was like, oh, my God, is this really going to happen? But he had a strong vision.
You paint on canvas.
Yes.
And you paint on those small, weird, I don't remember what they're called, those little boards that you do the nudes on.
Oh, panels.
Okay, just little panels the blue. It's a great story with the blue paints. I was rereading all our stories here this morning. And you also have some murals around.
Yes.
And I thought maybe I could ask you about that because you had the one of the, what is it called, the St. Pete Brew House? The one on Central, like that enormous place.
Yes, the one on St. Pete Brew, which is the musicians in the courtyard, yeah.
Right. But you also, isn't the dog painting there?
The dog painting is
over the dog bar.
That's also a part of the same building, but it's facing the dog bar, and that one's called Awakening Bodhisattva.
Yeah, and that was that actually a dog of yours, I think, Bodhisattva?
No, that's actually another fellow artist dog. my friend Marianne, and she used to always post pictures of her dog Bodhi on Facebook, and he was just the most amazing, cutest dog I'd ever seen. So I borrowed her photo to paint that.
There's a lot to be said for that. The musicians, in case you haven't seen it, it's inside the courtyard there. It's Bruce Springsteen, Lady Gaga, and Bob Marley, and all these very kind-hearted, generous, famous musicians sort of having a beer together. It's a very cool picture. Eddie Vedder's in there too.
He is. Yeah. He's the one that nobody recognizes.
Well, I was looking at it this morning, Karen, and I went,
you have to be a child of the grunge era. Yeah, well, so you know, to recognize Eddie Vedder.
We all float down here, as they say. I mean, have you done a lot of murals?
I've done quite a few murals.
Yeah. I mean, you did Shine stuff.
I did Shine stuff. Yeah. I also have a mural in the back of the Arts Exchange called Are You My Mother? And it scares a lot of people. It's a giant $100 bill with a baby in the middle.
Wow.
Have you seen that one?
You know what? I must not have ever seen it. I think I'd remember that. Are You My Mother? Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book to me, which is another story exactly. What does that signify?
So when I was a single mom and I was working as an artist, I often had to, like, I mean, being an artist in general, you have to work very hard. You work a lot because you don't make a lot. And I would have to often, like, figure out, okay, I need to spend, you know, I got to spend time with my children, but I also have to make money. And, you know, sometimes, like, you think that providing expensive things or experiences for your kids is going to be, you know, you're going to be a good parent because you do that. But really, you know, it was always like this fine line between how much money do you need to make to be a good parent and how much is time more valuable than money.
Yeah.
And for some reason, during that time in my life, it was like kind of this money and my kids were like the two most important things to me. Because I had to have the money to live and to raise the kids, but then I also had to have the time to spend with my kids. Yeah. So it was just sort of like this ever present concept. And I had this vision of the $100 bill with the, you know, sort of the child in the center. And it was kind of like, you know, what matters to you? Like what's important?
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, so this is on the back of the Arts Exchange.
And I did this as actually it was part of a creative Pinellas project called Motherhood in the Arts. And it was, I did a small version of this painting and I had it in my studio and it really kind of freaked people out. Like, I think just money and babies and seeing them in the same image just kind of freaked people out.
You never saw that Alice Cooper album called Billion Dollar Babies from
back
in the
70s. Didn't see that.
I'll send you a picture of that one.
But yeah, I think, you know, and it, what is it like? Isn't that the thing that most people fight about in marriages, like money and,
mostly money.
Mostly money, kids, and I think sex is the other thing.
Yeah, but, there you go. Yeah.
But yeah, so it kind of, you know, some people really loved it and some people really got freaked out by it. And I really liked that because I liked when people walked up in my studio, I could almost instantaneously tell like what that person's background was by how they reacted to the image.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is the mural the same way now?
It is the same way. I have people all the time that will send me a message about the mural and tell me what it means. And it's not what I had intended at all.
Well, does it still have the same, if you look at it now and you go, well, that was me a few years ago. I don't really feel this way anymore. You know, or is it sort of just a little melancholy to say, yeah, that's the way I felt a few years ago. I don't feel that way now.
I really don't feel that way anymore, but the mural has changed meanings for me. I mean, it's had several different meanings over the years. Like, I remember when I was painting it, somebody ran by, I think it was like a younger person, and they said, oh, born into the system. And it's like, yeah, that is kind of, you know.
I don't know what that means.
You know, being born into the system, you know. The system that we all live in and abide
by. Well, okay. I thought maybe it was some sort of obscure comic book reference. I mean, sometimes I talk to artists and I show my age because, like, well, you know. Last question. This just occurred to me. Have you ever been so in love with a piece of work that it was hard to let it go? It was like, oh.
Yes, yeah? I have. Yeah, I have a couple pieces at my house that I've kept.
That you've kept.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you didn't have to go buy them back from somebody.
No, no.
You just said, I like this too much. I'm keeping it.
I think, well, I've always needed the money more than as much as I like them.
But you got these. You still have a couple in your house.
I do.
What are they?
So I have this piece that I did. It was also for Creative Pinellas. And it was a piece, two paintings that I did of Mark and I's hands holding scissors. And it's kind of a... I mean, the pieces are kind of a love letter to being married to a creative partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I used scissors is, for one, tools are a very important part of our life. And scissors are just, you know, they're very beautiful tools. And
unless you fall on them.
That is true.
Yeah,
they can be dangerous.
Yes, yes.
But
let's remind kids, don't run with scissors.
Yeah, don't run with scissors.
Yeah.
But Mark has a collection of scissors, antique scissors, so I use some of those. And we also have a saying, you know, Mark and I always say that being an artist and making a living as an artist is like running with scissors. Mm. It's like you really don't know. You're taking a chances on a lot of things in life.
This is circling around to what we talked about in the beginning.
It is. And so the paintings that I have are both of our hands holding scissors, and it's kind of like how we both sort of run with scissors.
Are those the same? They're two pieces? Those are the two that you captured me.
Yeah, they're two pieces, and I could send you a picture of them.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll stick it in the story that goes with this interview just so people can.
But it also is kind of symbolic of how the hands are holding the scissors in a way that is careful, and it's like how – also how when you're in a relationship, you know, you have to be careful. You can say things that are hurtful and words cut and
Amen.
Actions cut. So.
Amen to that, yeah. And plus all the things you argue about. You know, I often wonder that I've been married twice as well, and I often wonder if, you know, if I had several million dollars, if we would never argue about anything. And that's probably not true, you know?
Yeah.
There'd probably be other things to get at each other about.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but you know.
But I do feel like
that's his life.
I know for both Mark and I, like in our, we've both been married twice, and you know, I think you learn from your mistakes in your first marriage, and you try not to make those mistakes in your second marriage. At least that's what we feel.
That's what Amy came into the same situation, the same you know kind of setup as I did. And yeah, we both felt the same way. Okay, I know what I don't want. And I know what I don't want to say, and I know what how I don't want to act, and I'm still working on it. Here's a life lesson for you, folks. Carrie Chavis, we're done. We did it, man. That's the whole enchilada. Anything we missed? Anything you want to talk about? What does 2024 look like for you? Got exciting stuff coming up.
No, really, just working on building some inventory. But I did want to share. I had this this little quote that I wrote down that just I don't know. It seems like something to share on a podcast. So. This saying is by Stella Adler. Life beats down and crushes the soul, and art reminds you that you have one. And I was going to go ahead and put that quote in my studio because I think that a lot of times, you know, we're so busy day to day doing all of these, you know, tasks that we feel that we have to do and this pressure that we have. And I feel like when you see art, it just kind of reminds you that you have a soul and that it feels like you're connected to something greater than yourself.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful way to end. Carrie, all the best to you. We'll
Thank
see
you.
You down, we'll see you down the road.
All right.
From stpetecatalyst.com.